Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are in the middle of an awesome season about self-work to self-love. And today we're talking all about personal growth. And so this is a topic that's really important to me because I'm kind of like a junkie for the personal growth stuff. I can't get enough of it. But is that really healthy? Is that something we should be doing? And so Tracy and I are going to get to really grapple with that question and figure out kind of, you know, what are the pros and cons of working on personal growth? So, Tracy, what are your thoughts about our subject today? How are you feeling about it?
Well, I feel like we should always be moving towards growth. I mean, we should always be like trying to improve ourselves. I don't think we ever get to the point of, you know, complete perfection. Like I certainly have not.
Yeah. Like on the checklist, like run to the grocery store and get bananas, finish your personal growth initiative. Like you're done.
Well, I mean, like everything's challenging, right? There's always new challenges. And also, I think that every little thing that you're doing is different than the last in some way, right? There's always variables. So,
right. Okay.
If you think like you've achieved everything and you've achieved perfection, I imagine something will come your way that will show you that you haven't, you know?
Right.
I mean, is personal growth, does that mean like you're always studying, always like doing self-help books? Is it, you know, always going to therapy? Like, what does that mean?
Right. What does it mean? Right. What is personal growth? I mean, for me, it's a broader definition. It's this idea that you're somehow learning something, whether you're learning about your, you know, well, self-growth or personal growth is learning something about yourself to better yourself. So right. It could include pretty much any modality, but So let me start with asking you this question, because I think this is kind of gets to the heart of why we would even seek out personal growth is, you know, when we think about the ideas of a life that feels stagnant, a life that feels complacent, and a life that feels content, and even a life that feels fulfilled, like how are those concepts different and how does personal growth really fit into that?
Well, list them off again. Because content, when you said content, like
satisfied.
I used to think content would be boring, but I am content. And yet, like, I'm content in my life now. And yet there are still things that I want to achieve and have to figure out how to do that, you know, but I feel content, but I'm still antsy about some other things. You know, can you feel content in one area of your life and then not in others?
I would assume so. Like I feel more than content in my professional area of my life. I feel fulfilled, but then, in my personal life, you know, I feel very content in my parenting life. I feel, you know, complacent because my daughter's in Germany. So I'm not doing much right now.
Really complacent though? I mean,
I don't know.
Just stop being a parent.
No.
It's just that you don't have, I mean, you're still the parent. I mean, you're still talking to her. You're still visiting her. You're still guiding her. You just are not in the same house. You're not buying her groceries.
It's just different. Right. Day-to-day. Yeah. It's just different. I wouldn't say that right now my parenting bucket is fulfilled, because if it was, I would be around her more. But she needs to have this experience for her own personal growth. And I'm having a personal growth experience too by not being around her as much and figuring out what is my identity as a parent with her gone. And so that's been really interesting. And that's a shift. So while the other ones are sort of on, I don't want to say autopilot, but they're going well, right? These other areas, this other area of parenting has really given me like this identity moment, right? Like the question about whether or not to put up a Christmas tree. Well, I'm by myself, and usually she and I decorate it and make a whole night out of it. And so my identity as a parent who does this with their child, it's like I have to kind of rethink, what does that holiday mean for me? And, you know, and then am I growing and learning and developing in myself as a kind of a confident solo person? Should I put the tree up? You know, lots of those things are sort of coming to the surface.
Well, that's good for you, don't you think? Because she's going to go to college soon. And, you know, my best friend's going through this. Well, the daughter is now a senior in college, but still she pines for her, which I find so interesting, because it's like do you ever get to a point where you're truly like, you know, free or, you know, like feeling content, happy that you could be happy that the child has launched, right? But there seems to always still be this like missing thing. And so I think for a Christmas, right? Do you care about a tree?
No,
or
but
do you care about the process? And
I cared about the process. Yeah, I don't care about
to put the tree up.
Exactly. It's not about seeing the tree. It's that we would like have fondue for dinner and we put on Christmas music and we'd decorate the tree and it would just be like this moment. And the moment is gone. The tree is still in my garage, right?
But could you do the fondue part and maybe the tree part on Zoom with her? Like, what are you trying to, because you're going to be sad if you're not doing anything, right? So are there ways that you can get that fulfillment that at least try and reach, you know, some of the feeling? Because what you're saying is it's really not about the tree itself. It's about the togetherness. So can you create that from a distance?
Well, I mean, that's a good question because I've been wondering, do I try to replicate something that can't be done the way that it totally fulfills me? Or is this a time of self-growth where I say, how can I expand what fulfills me during the holidays? Can I be around friends? Can I be around other family? Can I do other rituals that maybe when she does come back, I can say, hey, look, I've learned all this other stuff about things we can do and then include her later on. So I'm sort of at a crossroads, right? Like, this is a chance for my own expansion rather than leaning on what I've been doing and try and retrofitting it. So it's a good question about personal growth.
Well, your expansion could just include her in a virtual way. You know, I feel like that's the thing. I do feel like this happens with a lot of people with friends, and I kind of go in and out of this depending on where I'm at in my life. But do I make such a big effort with friends who aren't close? I mean, traditionally, all my adult life, I've been the one that moves away. And so all my closest friends have lived elsewhere, but I've maintained closeness by talking on the phone a lot, you know, Zooming, whatever, sending articles, memes, you know, Instagram stories, whatever. Does that diminish my friendship with them? You know, do we need to be in close proximity?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it probably changes it a little, I would imagine. I mean, for my friends that are nearby, I tend to see them in person. I mean, you and I are sort of an exception to that because we message a lot and talk a lot on the phone, and we could do that if we lived, you know, across the world from each other. But we also do get together and go hiking, and we do our Tumamoc walks and things like that. So, you know, I would think that, you know, the people that I'm around in proximity, I like to actually see them in person for some of the things that I do. So, I mean, that's a great question. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's personal for each, not just each person like you, but maybe each of your friends too. You know, like some people are phone talkers and others aren't.
Right.
And, you know, so, but if we think about all this in terms of like personal growth, right? Like personal expansion, a lot of times, like you started this whole podcast with, does it mean reading self-help books or getting therapy? And we think of those as like these real tangible modalities, but a lot of our self-growth is just expansion that happens because of our circumstances, right? And so me, in some ways, trying to do exactly what I was doing before, parenting my daughter who doesn't live here, isn't going to be the same because she's not here. So I have to expand the way that I parent her. So like one example is, I'm like, how can I communicate with her and show her support in ways that I, you know, I might not otherwise be able to do because she's not here. And so like every week I send her a postcard. Now, clearly I probably wouldn't do that if she lived here, but that's part of my expansion is figuring out how can I still show her support and love in a way that's going to fit for her. And so it doesn't sound like personal growth, but it is because I'm expanding what love and support looks like for her and I'm engaging in a new practice. And so sometimes our expansion is really not this whole thing about like I picked up a book and I read a book about self-help, but really about putting ourselves in or being in situations that challenge us to think and do things differently.
Well, and also to accept like that the other person I'm thinking of, you know, if she's across the world, using your daughter as an example, like if you're messaging her and she's not messaging back, and that like understanding that like for you, I mean, I think that's a growth thing, is not to take stuff personally, like that, you know, this person's having an experience and also they're younger. They don't text back as much. And I think, you know, I've had to take that like less personally. Like my best friend would never, she didn't like talk on the phone. I literally had to buy her a pair of AirPods because she'd be like, well, I just got home. I have to get off the phone. I'm like, why? Like you're the only right. one in your house. Why do you have to get off the phone? Like what? I don't understand. Well, I can't hold the phone and talk. And I'm like, then here's a pair of AirPods. So like, you know right. what I mean? Like it was really bugging me. So, but it wasn't personal. It's like, she just didn't buy herself a pair of AirPods and then she couldn't like carry this stuff in and continue to do her stuff in the house. And she never like even had that thought to do that. It's like, if she took a phone call, she would sit down and sit there. You know? So right. I think it's like changing the way that you do things also.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like to double dip, you know, I like to be doing more than one thing at a time.
Right. Well, if you were to think about your life right now, what are some things in the recent months have you personally grown with, you know, like learned about yourself or grown or expanded that maybe you didn't set out to do, but just via your circumstances, you've grown?
I don't think I have, like, I'm actually experiencing a period of regression right now. Like, I'm acting like a baby about some things. And so I need to look at myself and say, okay, I do need to continue doing this growth work because me acting like a baby is not helping, you know? And like I said, it's like there's so many variables to each relationship or situation that, like, I could say, okay, I've done this therapy. I really understand. Like, I understand exactly what I'm doing. So I guess I am farther along than I used to be, like, when I'm reacting to stuff, like, because I know why I'm reacting the way I'm reacting. Whereas 20 years ago, I did not know. But now I have to say, okay, I need to continue working on myself. You know, I can't act like that. I can't be a baby in certain situations because it's not helping, you know?
But I think one of the growth pieces for you is that not only are you identifying that, but you're identifying it more quickly. Every time we talk about stuff like right. this, you're identifying where you're tripping yourself up and being able to intervene. And so that in and of itself is growth, right? Not
it is, but it's still like, oh my God, can I just get mature yet or not? You know?
Right.
Like, I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm having a fit. And so it's like, why can't I stop my, the next step is to like completely eradicate my babiness or my, you know, reactionariness that's based on like old, like abandonment patterns and stuff. Wounds, I should say, abandonment wounds.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's good that you're recognizing this. So let me ask you, what are you doing to grow in that area?
Well, I've got to, I mean, I'm recognizing it right away. I'm addressing it right away. I'm not letting it, you know, spiral. And then I need to, like, I've got to, like, I need to go back to working on those issues, you know, like, whether I do it with a therapist, I haven't decided yet, or whether I, you know, go back to a podcast and books and all that and talking about it. Like, I am way less reactionary than I used to be, but I still am seeing that I'm reactionary about things that I really shouldn't be, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, that's good insight. And you have some good options ahead of you. I mean, you could right. do both, right? Therapy and, right. you know, the books and the podcasts and whatever you found. I mean, you've made great strides from where you were to here. So thinking right. about what helped you grow from there to here, are those some of the things that can help you? Or do you need a totally different approach to kind of cross the finish line of whatever this is that you're trying
no,
to?
No, I just need to focus on those things. I think we do get to a point where we're like, oh, I've done all the self-growth work. I'm good. And then you realize, no, you're really not, you know? And right. I do think it's a lifelong process of like rooting out like all those wounds that we have from past stuff going back to childhood. They come up in situations that if an outsider was looking at it, they'd be like, what is your problem? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's like constant. There is no ending to growing or self-reflection.
Right, right. Well, yeah. And I think the delineation between that for me is there's no end in the growing because you're always going to be in situations where you're forced to learn something, even if it's the hard way. But there might be a period of time in which you're not intentionally growing, like where you're not seeking out efforts to push that process
because you're
along.
Not being challenged.
Yeah, or you're just not recognizing it, or you're on autopilot or whatever. I mean, we're always learning and growing because we're going to be in new situations. But it could be that, you know, the intentional piece is like saying, you know what, just like you did, I really need to work on this. Like, I need to do it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get therapy. I'm going to listen to a podcast, like making it an intentional kind of effort to grow. Mm-hmm. So those are almost like two different things. One is you're just going to grow no matter what, unless you live in a cave. And even then you might grow. But mm-hmm. But the other part of it is the intentional growing, because that's the part where, should you always be intentionally growing? Should you always have a self-help book on your nightstand? Should you always be listening to podcasts? Should you always be in therapy? I mean, that's a, mm-hmm. or is just the experiencing growth naturally, is that enough for some periods?
Well, I think you and I both got to the same place in therapy where we're just talking about the same thing over and over. Right.
Yeah.
And so we both stopped, and I didn't need it like weekly. There were times in my life where I needed it weekly, and now I certainly don't. And I didn't, but now I see, okay, these new things are challenging me, things that are coming up that, like, they are things that I really do identify, but how can I better get a handle on it?
Right. Right.
Well, would a therapist help? I don't know.
I don't need
weekly therapy.
I've been going to therapy. I've been to therapy in and out for the last probably 15 years, but I started going to therapy a little over a year ago. I switched to a new therapist just because I needed something kind of fresh. My other therapist mm-hmm. was great, but I felt like we got to the end of the road. I went to a new therapist for a totally different reason. I was trying to figure out if my life was values aligned with where I wanted to go. And she really helped me through that. And a year later, my life is very, very different than it was a year ago. And so part of that was processing with her. But I go every 3 weeks. It's kind of a check-in. But I went yesterday and I said, I don't really know what to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
So we just started chit-chatting, and then we uncovered a few little things here and there, and she validated some of the things I have been working on with boundaries and that sort of thing. But she said, this is the kind of therapy you want, Corey, is the kind when you're not coming to me only when you're in crisis, where we can actually talk about things to sort of prevent them, you know, and work through them before they blow up. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. But I do wonder, I'm like, do I need to keep going? She's been helpful. And
So if you go when you're not in crisis, what are you actually doing? I mean, that sounds so ignorant now that I said it out loud, but if you go when you're not in crisis, what are you doing?
Well, I just filled her in. I only see her every 3 weeks. So I just filled her in on what had been happening over the last 3 weeks. And she asked me, you know, questions about how I felt about certain things, how I handled them, how that aligned with past patterns.
How's that helping you?
It's making me reflect.
Did you feel like you had to go or you wanted to?
A little bit of both. I like her and I like going and I like having that dedicated time. I didn't feel like I was like in such crisis and I had to go. And it was like, thank goodness, after 1 hour, she solved all my problems. But after we started talking, she validated a lot of what I was doing, which made me feel good, because that's part of growth, is getting feedback that you're on the right track. I mean, she, mm-hmm. and then we talked about a relatively insignificant situation that turned out to be more reflective of a significant life lesson for me, and processed how I would handle that. And I went home right afterwards and I handled the situation exactly how we had talked about in that. And mm-hmm. it turned out great. And I feel really good about it. So sometimes, like, you don't know what you don't know.
And
the growth that I had yesterday, I wasn't anticipating, and I could have easily just canceled that appointment, but I went, and that conversation just got me to a point where I was like, oh, there are a couple of things that I really wanted to think about and I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like the universe. Did you ever think about the fact that they say the universe is ever expanding, but what is it expanding into? Like, do we just keep expanding? Like, because what's out there? If the universe is expanding, what is it pushing into? Like a nothing? But if there's the nothing, is there ever an end to that nothingness? And do we just keep growing and growing and growing? Because now I can think, oh, well, my life is done. I've done everything. You know, I have everything. But like, I don't even know what could be happening in 6 months, you know? Like, what is on the horizon? I don't know.
Well,
and I want my life. I want it to keep expanding.
But that's the thing, is part of it is that intentional expansion, like we talked about, where mm-hmm. you can say, I really want to work on these particular things to grow. And the other part of it is you're just thrust into some situations that are likely out of your control, and you're having to respond, and you're growing and learning because of that need, out of necessity, out of survival. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. We've talked about this before. Is, you know, the last 6 months of my life, I ended up, you know, really having kind of a reconciliation around the people that I wanted in my internal social circle. Mm-hmm. And it came from a number of independent things with different people that made me question if my bar was kind of set a little bit lower than I wanted it mm-hmm. to be set for. And I didn't see that coming. But I had to go through it. And so I just ended up, I mean, thankfully I had my therapist. She was very, very helpful at the time, but I almost opted out of therapy right before all this stuff happened.
And me too. Thank you.
Well, and you, I mean, and you were sort of in a crossroads that was parallel and similar right. in ways, and kind of just saying who's most important to be in our circles. Right.
Right.
And it was a real big reckoning for me. And so what I was thrust into initially and growing and being challenged about was not by choice, but then by choice was my intentional response to that situation. So I started reading all about like friendships and boundaries. And I was listening to podcasts. And one of the things I found really helpful was Mel Robbins with the Let Them Theory, and really mm-hmm. kind of trying to embrace the Let Them Theory. So my personal growth sort of stemmed from two things. One, it was this organic thing that was happening that was out of my control because other people's actions I could not control. And so I had to learn and grow from that. But then I said, my response can be something more intentional. And that's when I sought out all these resources. So there's kind of these two roads of growth that were happening for me. And again, thankfully, I had you, I had my therapist, I had a couple close friends, I had my brother, I had people around me that were kind of helping me through that whole process.
Right. And now that you got through it, like, you're so much happier. You were not happy a couple months ago.
I was miserable. It was awful. I was, yeah. And I don't like being miserable. Nobody does, but I really don't like it. And I tried everything mm-hmm. I could to kind of shift my mindset and do all those old hacks, and none of it worked because I was constantly in a circumstance that didn't feel good. And as soon as I made some choices for myself about how to respond, I can't control other people's actions, but I can control my own response and if I engage or not, all of a sudden things just started falling into place. And so my mm-hmm. self-growth was saying not only learning how to respond, but learning that I have power over my response. And that in and of itself is like agency for me, and was growth to learn that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's interesting because you did the work, you've gotten to an entirely different place. For a while, I was like, whoa, like you are really upset. Like, really upset.
Well, every time I turned around, it was like a pile of rocks was being dropped on me from another angle. And I'd get my head up through the rocks, and somebody else would drop a different pile of rocks on me. It was like a series of completely unrelated events over and over and over. But they
and yet all similar.
All similar. They all had the same theme, was my, you know, kind of my willingness to accept being treated in ways that I didn't think were healthy or good, because I wanted to salvage relationships that I had invested in and thought that history should create longevity. And and that was my takeaway in one phrase. That was my takeaway. But it took me a long time to get to that point and then respond in a way that created boundaries and ultimately happiness and peace for me.
Right.
Yeah. So aside from your quest for maturity, as you've said, or getting out of your babiness phase.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay, so what else are some of the personal growth goals that you have? Is there anything?
Now it's with work, trying to, you know, start a business and stick with it instead of my normal knee-jerk reaction to go looking for a job.
Okay. You know? So it's your follow-through. Yeah. It's like your taking initiative.
Not being afraid, and then like just going for it and going forward.
Yes. So what are you doing to work towards that growth goal?
I'm just listening to your advice, and I'm just pushing through. I was working on my website this morning, and I just thought, why not? Why can't I do this? You know, yeah, certain parts of setting this up are frustrating, but why not? I mean, who am I? Who's anybody else that did anything like this, you know? Like, I don't need to always doubt. I just have to stick with it, you know?
Right. Well, and you have come across many people who you have said that if they can do it, I can do it, you know?
Right.
And
right.
it's, you know, you can, you just have to have some persistence. But for you, you're just, so your solution to not doing it is doing it.
Wait, I can't wrap my head around that. My solution to not doing it is doing it.
Yeah. So your big problem has been not doing it. And so now to solve that problem, you just decided you're going to do it.
Do it. Right. I have to just do it though. Like I really have to. It's so hard.
Okay.
It's so hard.
But what are you learning about yourself while you're engaging in this process of doing it, of getting things up and running?
That I'm very like resistant, you know? But again, I think all that is fear-based is like, what if I don't succeed? But obviously there's the maxim, if you don't try, you'll never succeed, or, you know,
right.
All the things that you don't try will of course be a failure. So it's just like getting over that.
So getting, are you getting over it?
Help where I need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I am. Yeah.
Well, you're actually doing it. You're further along than you have been on the many occasions you've tried to start before. So
I know I am further along. And I needed to just get a move on.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's a good growth goal, is to persist, right? And
right.
See this through even in the wake of fear, is to say.
I know. And then think, okay, well, I can get something else that's part-time or whatever that, you know, we've talked about that, supplementing in the meantime, you know?
Right. Right. But right now you have a little bit of time to try to get as much as you can done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the less of it is about the goal and more of it is about what's impeding you from getting to the goal, right? Because that's the growth
right.
part, is figuring it out. And the fact that you're now articulating fear of failure and a few of the things that have been on your mind and just owning them,
right.
It's making it more real and putting it out on the table and say, I can get past that. I can do this.
Well, and that's the thing. I always say it. So let's see if I do it.
Yeah.
I'm really good at destruction or, you know, stopping things, all right? Quitting things. Am I good at putting things together? You know, we'll see. That remains to be seen. But I'm really trying this time. I am trying.
Okay. Well, it's a good goal. What kind of resources are you leaning on to help you? Because part of personal growth is knowing when you need to ask for help.
You, I'm asking you for help. I did show my website to my wife last night. She wanted to see it. And I was like, I don't want to show it to you. Like, I feel so embarrassed by it. And she was like, so impressed with it. And I'm like, what? It seems so juvenile to me. You know what I mean? Like, so then again, that's perspective, right? So
yeah, that's your fear talking.
Right. So that, and then actually relying on the tech, you know, the people I purchased the technology from, GoDaddy, like I just sent them a message about something. And so I'm waiting to see, okay, can I do this? Because now I decided to change the name again, but I'll talk to you about that later. But that's the thing is like, it's weird because I'm really good at like, the legal thing of thinking things through. And, you know, when I talk to clients, it's like, they're like, oh my God, I never thought of that or this or that. But like for myself, right? I don't know. I just wish I could hire a person to do it all for me that could sit next to me and just do it while I say, okay, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose I can, but they wouldn't be sitting next to me, but that's what I want. Like when I was working as a lawyer, that's what I wanted, was a paralegal who was right literally next to me in my office, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're on your own on this one, at least physically, but you can certainly have people virtually who can help you.
I know. Right.
Part of it is knowing what you're knowing. Cause I will tell you, I've outsourced things like websites before. And then when I've had a change, it has taken so much effort to try to get even one sentence changed. Whereas you're doing this yourself. If you need to update or put like a new date on the calendar or something on your website, you can jump in and do it in like 2 seconds. So you're going to find that once you know how to do this stuff, that you're going to have more power over and control over the fate of your own business.
What? And you read about all these people who are like, and I think you're one of them because you've learned to do the self-publishing. It's like, well, no, you're not self-publishing. Sorry. You're being published by a publishing house, but you got yourself to that point, right? It's not the same as when, you know, Ernest Hemingway was drunk in a bar and they're like, oh, you're interesting. Why don't you write a book? And here, we'll already pay you for it, right? So the world has changed and you managed to figure that out and navigate that. So, you know, I read these stories of people who are like, oh, I learned so much in this process. And I'm just like, oh, you know, like, God, I don't want to learn that tech stuff. I don't want to learn how to do the harder stuff. And so I'm hoping that I have a, at some point, I have some kind of breakthrough, you know, where like I want that I'm okay with learning that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, and once you start learning it, then it becomes easier to learn more. I mean, I didn't.
I know, but it's like the things you talk about with the having the houses, you know, and hiring a property management company. And in the end, you were better than the property management company. It's like a waste. And I think that way about my house, like the remodeling, but I've been screwed over now by this, you know, handyman. It's like, why don't I just learn to do it myself? But then I right. just become, it's like, I don't know, too many things in the day, too much going on.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, part of that is knowing what you have the capacity and interest to learn. So for me, a couple of the things I do not outsource, I do not outsource my websites. I manage five websites and I'm on top of it. I'm logged in almost every day, updating all the plugins and functionality and updating the content. And I've built them all from scratch. I mean, on WordPress, but I mean, like, from scratch on WordPress, no templates and stuff. And so it's like, that's been, you know, that's been a really big learning process. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not like a website builder. And then at one point I outsourced my accounting. I tried to outsource my accounting and it was, I had to do more work to get my accountant the information for her to do my taxes.
Right.
Than if I just did it myself. So I learned how to do all my taxes. I learned all the back roads of things and I, you know, and then the same with the property management. I'm like, well, they're not doing this and they're not calling this and they're not doing that. And I just ended up firing the property management. I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn more about property management. And I don't, but there are some things that I won't do that with. Like I have a contractor and a handyman that I trust immensely. I'm not going to touch electrical, right? And some of those. So you just have to kind of figure out what it is that you're willing to do, to be able to have more control over what you're doing. It's interesting because once you learn how to do something, it's almost frustrating to outsource it. So you feel a sense of empowerment. Like when I managed my own properties since I think it was like 2011. And like 2 years ago, I decided to get a property manager. Mm-hmm. And that was a total bust. I did it for a year. And I'm like, I went back to me because I realized I had learned all this stuff already.
Right.
And I felt so out of control depending on someone else who I felt like just didn't have the same investment in my properties that I did. So,
right.
I mean, part of that self-growth for you is going to be figuring out what are you willing to learn, right? Like probably the website stuff is good because then you can have more power over updating it.
Right.
But do you really need to learn, you know, some other very technical thing? Like, do you need to learn how to build the addition on your house because you're frustrated with your handyman? No, you probably just need to call somebody else if you need work on your house. So, but figuring out the difference between those is what's key.
Right. Yeah, I think it's frustration level and then how much are you paying someone to do something? I mean, how important is it? How, you know, if you want it to look horrible or you don't really care, does it just have to be functional or does it have to be great? You know, and I guess if you start out and you can scrounge up some business or you can cobble your house stuff together, then you could, you know, hopefully then have the funds to do it later, like with the business, right? So maybe my website, I mean, they do look more professional now than they used to, even since the last time I tried this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the stuff that pops up automatically.
Just build a simple website with a couple pages and then you're done. And then, you know, later on when you expand or grow and you want more pages, you can cross that bridge.
Right.
Like getting something that, you know, is pretty decent out there, but you don't have to hire some big, huge, like web design company to make you like a one page website.
Right.
You know, just kind of get started. And that's part of being able to figure out what you need because it can be very overwhelming, you know, I mean,
right. I think that's what people feel about personal growth, that it can be overwhelming, that if they get started, they'll never stop. If they'll go down a rabbit hole, that it'll be too difficult, you know? I mean, there's people who are just resistant in general because they don't feel that they need to. And those people, you know, they don't want to grow. They don't. There's a lot of that in our society. But then there's people who just feel like it's overwhelming, and then that if they get started, it'll be too much for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that. You've even said, you knew someone who said, if I started going to therapy, I'll just end up in the fetal position.
Right.
Crying, you know, and it's like.
Okay, maybe yeah. For a little bit, you might.
Yeah. And then you won't.
Right.
After a while. I mean, in theory, you won't. And
right. And then you just have little baby fits that you need to figure out how not to do anymore.
Exactly. You know? Right. I mean, most of what like that self-growth is understanding what it is that you actually need to work on. Like that's the biggest step, I think, for self, you know, personal growth is saying, what do I need to actually work on?
Right.
You know, and I can name things where I have triggers. I know my triggers. I mean, I'm very rarely surprised by a trigger. I'm like, oh, I know where that comes from. It's a pattern.
But do you react? Like if you know that you have this trigger, do you know in real time that you're being triggered?
A lot of times, yeah.
It's historical.
A lot of times, yeah. And then I just take a breath and I respond differently. I mean, I used to be really, really impatient and really kind of like upset at the world. You know, if someone wouldn't hold the door open for me when they were like going through a door and they let it like slam on me, I'd be upset. Sometimes I would even say something. That would just trigger me. I'm like, I would hold the door for you. So it came down to like an ethics or a morals issue. Like, why won't you do this for me if I would do this for you? And then I just kind of came to realize like part of my growth is not responding like that because my response wasn't getting me anywhere. Usually the person never apologized and came and reopened the door for me. They'd say something snarky back, or they weren't even in like, you know, in the distance where they could even hear what I was saying or knew what they had done. And all I was doing was creating angst for me. So when those kind of things happen, someone cuts me off or somebody does something that I feel like ethically violates what I would do. I just sometimes have to, like, I get triggered for a second, I take a breath, and then I don't actually respond unless it's really critical for me to do so. And that has, like, lessened my angst. That's, you know, created just, like, lower levels of anxiety for me. I don't have to worry that someone's going to do something that I'm going to have to respond. But I still feel the trigger. It's just that the self-growth for me was saying, how do I want to respond? And there's nothing wrong with people who say things to someone when the door slams on them or, you know, is visibly upset. That's how they handle it. But for me, it was creating so much anxiety that I just didn't want to carry that around. So I decided that for my own health and wellness, I was going to respond differently. So I think I still feel the trigger, but the intensity has been less over time because the more that I just don't respond, it doesn't matter to me as much. So I'm not triggered as deeply.
Right.
I don't know. Do you feel those triggers coming on, and are you able to do them? Approach them differently because of like the self-growth you've had?
No, that's what I'm saying is I act like a baby. So I recognize once I start acting like a baby that I'm being triggered.
Do you interrupt it? Do you stop or do you just see the whole thing through, the baby thing through and just be like, oh, that's a lost cause?
No, I have been.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been stopping it. Yeah. Like I have been able to say, okay, I know what I'm doing. And then, all right, apologize, try and fix this, and then, you know, move forward. But I have to be careful. Like, I've been acting like a baby lately in response to feeling shut out, like the other person's response has been kind of, you know, to go internal, right?
Yeah.
And then I act like a baby. I get real babyish about that. And so it's legit. It's legit for that person to have that response. It's legit for me to be upset. But the way that I've handled it has been, you know, just not the greatest. And I immediately apologize and I immediately know, oh, I just really messed up, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to get to the point where I don't do that. Or I say, okay, I'm being triggered. I'm being triggered. Triggered. I'm getting triggered. You know, where I can just say that right off the bat. I'm being triggered.
Well, that's a good, that's a start. Right?
Right.
That's a start because you're almost calling time out. You're almost saying like.
Yeah. That's what I need to do. I'm being triggered. Triggered. I'm being triggered.
I mean.
I'm about to act like a baby.
That's good because if you're going to try to put the expectation on yourself to not be triggered by something you've historically been triggered by forever. That's not a lot of self-awareness, because you know that that's almost impossible to do. But if you start with this intermediary step of just saying, I'm feeling triggered right now, that allows you to continue to have a response, but it doesn't make it as unproductive as it would be otherwise. And so that is self-awareness, to know that that middle ground is probably a more realistic starting place for you than saying, trying to make yourself beat yourself up for feeling triggered, you know, when you, when you feel that way.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, we've been talking about a lot of things that have to do with personal growth because of situations we're in and the learning that's happened and then how we've had to respond, right? What about just things sort of out of the blue? Are there personal growth areas that you just say, I'm not triggered by it right now, or like there's nothing actively going on in my world, but it's something that I'd really like to get better at in terms, not a skill, but just like as far as managing my own emotions or something that isn't like a response to something right now? Do you have any kind of personal growth goals?
I would again say only that, like, in relation to, for me, career at this point, because now I'm in a low period in the career bucket, you know? And so, I mean, I guess it's like, am I going to get what I want? Am I going to make that leap? So mine all goes back to that. And I do, that's where I should probably pivot. I mean, I need to work on the relationship stuff where I get babyish, but then I need to really, like, right now, I really need to focus on the career stuff, learning and getting better. And, you know, not, for me, it's like not letting the little things defeat me, you know, with that, like the website being irritating to do and all that. And so, oh, and then I've become chubby because of menopause. My neighbor told me that's BS. He's an older man. He said, that's just what women say. It's calories in, calories out. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. But, you know, like we have to keep doing more and more. And I mean, I don't know. So there's days where I'm like, oh, I could become an ultra runner, you know, and then I'm like, oh, I don't even want to go anywhere. Like, you know, as I'm aging, I do have to decide, because I have gotten to the point before where I did kind of wear myself down, you know? And I think for me with like the hiking and all that, I'll get back to it someday, but I become exhausted more emotionally by it. Like, oh, I've done that trail already. You know what I mean? Like I cannot, I'm probably not going to be able to get any faster. And that's when then I kind of like shut down. So unlike you who stays consistent and all that, I then like, I'm like, always been up and down, like with the exercise and the weight and that kind of thing. Is like, and people, if I said that, they wouldn't think I look heavy, but it's like, for me, I am. And it's like, you know, why can't I just be consistent? So I guess my next personal growth thing should be to be consistent in like keeping myself fit for my agingness, and then delving into the career stuff and sticking with it, and not being deterred and not like turning around and running away at the very first like difficult issue.
Those are good.
You know?
Yeah. What are you going to do to start working on those things?
I don't know.
Talk to your therapist.
She's over it. I know that. Like the work thing. You know, I talked to her for years about writing. I've had all the same discussions with my therapist that I've had with you. So you've been through all of them about the writing. I'm going to do writing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then I just don't. It's like, I don't know. I just get caught up in the act of living, you know?
Right. Right.
I'm going to make a great book title, Caught Up in the Act of Living. I'm going to write that down right now. But that's the thing. It's like I get caught up in the act of living. It's the way I've always been. And I just wish that I had a personal assistant who would follow me around and write these things down. And my therapist was like, use one of those, you know, voice recorders, put it in this. Now there's things where you can like literally be hiking and writing a book at the same time. She's like, use, you know, the technology. And that's what I'm saying. Like I would bore my therapist probably to death, like going back to the same stuff. I mean, I always say like, oh, the therapist is glad to see me coming because all I talk about is, oh, I just break up or like work stuff, you know? But it's like, God, can you just get on, like move forward, will you? I'm sure that's what she thought. Just move forward. I can't have this discussion again. I know that you've had the same exact thoughts.
Can I call her and talk to her? Yeah. And we can commiserate. Yeah.
She's listened to our podcast, and that's the thing. Like, you, it is the same thing. You are over it. I know that.
But
and
see,
so
that's because
where
you're.
I can't ask anymore because I'm not going to do it.
That's your problem. That's the problem right there. It's not all of these things that you want to do and that you're trying to learn how to do them. It's the fact that you don't want to do some of them. And you can't.
I want to do them.
No,
just
you want them to
I
be done.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's be very clear. Go. You want there. Them to be done. You want to have a website, but you don't want
you're
to
right.
do it.
Correct.
And
you go. But you have to, in order to want something to be done, you have to get there. And I mean, I'm not rich, so I mean, I can't hire someone to do that stuff. So then it's like, I'm the one who's doing it. I literally have a book on the table behind me that's like an ADHD workbook, and I cannot get it done. I paid for ADHD coaching certification. I've managed to read one half page of it in a year. Like, that's the thing. So I want, I need somebody in there. I need someone in the brain or right next to me. If I was born wealthy, I would have an assistant, okay, from day one. It's the truth. ADHD aid.
I know, but you're not, so that's tricky. What are other people with ADHD, what do they do when they're trying to?
God only knows. Can they tell us? I don't know.
I don't know. There's books on it. If you would even read one, you'd probably get through a half a page, right?
Yeah, how can people with this problem get through anything like that?
Right.
If it doesn't come in the form of, like, a movie...
Okay.
You know,
maybe an audiobook, podcast.
Even that, and I'd have to be walking the dogs or hiking or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. You can do a podcast on ADHD.
But then it's the follow
ADHD.
Through. Yeah. So for ADHD, it's like then you have to have the follow through. So I can consume all of the data. You know.
Right. Right. Well, you're not going to do anything you don't want to do. So the real problem is, how do you make yourself want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't make yourself do it. Make yourself want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you're going to get it done. One thing I've learned about you is when you want something to happen, you make it happen. And if
that's
you say,
weird. I feel like I'm that.
Oh,
I
no.
Don't.
No, you do. There's things that are, I mean, I remember when you were like wanting to go back to Seattle and become a cop again. And you had to go through like 5,000 steps of this interview and you were on it. You're like doing push-ups and you're like running around and you're training for this and you're coordinating this and you're doing... Because you wanted it. When you want something that deeply, you make it happen. So,
but then suddenly I didn't want it and I didn't do it.
But
I, like, that's the thing. I know
exactly.
I know.
But that's the thing. So if you need to get something done, how do you figure out how to want it? You have to want to do it. So you have to look at like the website as like, this is so cool. This is my opportunity to brand myself. Like, I'm a big deal. I'm going to put myself out there into the world and I get to like create this text box. How cool is that? I get to put a graphic up here. That's super fun. I don't know, whatever's going to work for you. But if you don't do things you don't want to do. So,
well, it's so I was listening to a podcast called The Divorce Coaching or Divorce Coaching something, but she had a woman on there and they were talking about reframing, and the woman said her clients called her the queen of reframing. That's what you are. It's like reframing, but you're like a fun, like you as I've said many times, you could have fun in a paper bag. So like for you, you're like, oh, look at this great opportunity to put this text box together. Me, I'm like, oh my god, why is it not just done? I want everything just spoon-fed to me. It's true. I'm inherently lazy. I'm inherently like, it's weird because I'm not lazy and I'm never idle. But
no, you're not. You go to the elephant sanctuary and you will dig trenches and deliver fruit and do all this stuff hours and hours a day because you want to do it.
Right.
So the key is wanting to do something.
Okay. So, okay. Bringing it back to self-growth, then if it seems challenging to someone, then they should reframe it. Like, they have to look for the benefit in it.
Right. Not just in the outcome, because that, for some people, that moves them, right? Like, if you reframe this and you're like, yeah, getting this website done is going to be great for my business, but that's not doing it for you. You have to reframe it so that doing the website is something fun or interesting, that the act of that little piece of it is going to be fulfilling enough of itself, not just the outcome that you're going to get to. So you have to reframe the task.
So people should, if, okay, so then in order to, I think, promote self-growth in others, it's like not talking about the outcome that you're going to be this really self-actualized person at the end, but that the process is actually fun. I mean, part of
Yes.
our podcasting is self-growth, right? I mean, that's the reason we started it. Like, literally, do you remember we were talking about, we were calling ourselves the Spin Sisters, and call us now if you're not neurotic when you call this, but you will be by the end of the call. And like, we've actually become the opposite of that through this podcast.
Right.
We're
Right.
less neurotic and less going around in circles.
Well, and you remember the conversation we've had this a couple times about the podcast was the outcome of our podcast was always designed to help people, right? And we can accomplish that in a variety of ways. And one of the ways that we were accomplishing that was by having on multiple guests, right? Over and over, almost every episode had a guest. And people liked those. So they were listening. They got a lot out of our guests. They're fantastic. And our outcome was being achieved. But we lost, for me, the fun in the process. I don't want to have every episode where we interview a guest. It's less time for you and I to actually talk about things that matter. And the reason that we actually decided to do this podcast was not just for the outcome, but it was for the process. We liked being able to talk about this stuff. And the more we brought other people on to fill up that airspace, the less we did of what I thought was fun. So for me, it was kind of like an epiphany to say, hold on, the process needs to be fun. So reframing it, and now we're doing this entire season without guests, just because I want to get back to the heart of what is fulfilling about this. And that was a big epiphany for me. And then for me to actually say that, because it's very easy for us to get guests. We have a lot of guests who want to be on our show. They're every last one of them is great, and they are value added. But it just was not fun for me as much as it is when we just talk. So it's the
Well, and that's
process.
right. And that, well, the whole reason we started was, yes, is to help other people, but it was also to work out our own shit. And now we're
Right.
doing that,
And now we're doing that. Right. And we could with some guests on, but I think we're doing it more so. And so as you're talking about this idea of growth, right? This idea of figuring out what you want, right? Yes, you want someone to create the website for you, but that's not going to happen. So if you try to focus on, well, if you build the website, it's going to have this really amazing outcome of you having this awesome business. That's not motivating you either. So you have one option that's unfeasible because of cost. You can't pay someone. You have one option, which is outcomes based, which isn't motivating you whatsoever. So the other outcome is reframing and just saying, I'm going to have fun building this website. I mean, and that's really what we're talking about is in the awareness enough to know what it is that motivates you to be able to do that.
Well, I'm going to try that today, and then by the next time we talk, we'll see if that's been helpful to reframe the process, to take and say, okay, the process itself is fun, and if I master it in this way, I could use it in all kinds of other ways, or I could, do other businesses or other websites or whatever.
And as you learn more, even something as technical as a website, as you learn more about something, then you're like, oh, cool. Now I know how to do this. Now I can put a picture over here, which I didn't know when I first started doing this. That's awesome. And it becomes fun because your learning continues to expand your potential, right? And that's kind of the fun part is when you're like, yeah, I figured that out. Like I just finished recording my audiobook. I have to admit, I was a little nervous about it. I mean, I podcast, I'm a professional speaker, I do a gazillion webinars, I'm a teacher, I'm a professor. Like I have no issues speaking into microphones. But I was nervous about doing this audiobook. And I remember right before I was about to record it, I thought, oh, I almost wish I could just hire someone and have them do it for me because I just want it to be done. Or I want to go to sleep and wake up and all of a sudden I will have already recorded the audiobook and I won't remember anything about it. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to miss the fun part. And let me tell you how much fun it was to record that audiobook. It was so fun. I had a producer and he was great and he was so patient with me. We were practicing voices and scene intonations and all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, I learned something. A new skill, right? Audiobook recording. But I also have a sense of confidence in an area that kind of shook me. I was like, ooh, this is an area of speaking I've never done. I'm kind of nervous about it. And now I don't feel nervous about it. I feel really empowered. I did 12 straight days, 90-minute sessions, and I feel much more comfortable with the idea of it. But I had to reframe it and say, this needs to be fun because if it's not going to be fun, I'm not going to get anything out of it. And for me, the self-growth was not just learning the skill. The self-growth was saying, wow, I got confidence in something because I just leaned into it and said, we're doing this, right? So
amazing.
Just do it. Just build that website.
That's how you have become like this master of so many different things, right? It's really just your attitude. Oh. Attitude versus aptitude. Let's talk about that another time. But I do think that's really true.
Yeah.
Is it your attitude?
I mean, a lot of it is my attitude. I'm always willing to learn, not just new skills, but learn about myself. That's why, like when I said, you asked, you know, basically, why didn't I cancel my therapy yesterday? And I was like, because I thought I could get something out of it. And mm-hmm. I did. I just wasn't sure what it was going to be. So part of that self-growth is just saying, lean into it sometimes. See what you need. Respond to it. Grow. Push yourself. Find the fun, right?
Attitude can lead to aptitude. A good attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's true. True. I can preach it. Now I just need to do it for myself.
Yes. And that's the part of the growth is saying, what is it going to take for you to do it? Because what it's going to take for you to do something like this, like launch your business, is very different than what it might take for someone else. That's
right.
That's the self-awareness piece. For you, it's fear of failure. For you, it's the not finding fun in the process. But for someone else, it might be, you know, a totally different reason. So that's the self-growth, is figuring out what it is and then tackling that so you can move forward.
Right. All right. Words to live by, Corey.
Words to live by. Okay. Tracy, what's your big takeaway for today?
Attitude is everything. If you want to grow in anything in life, your attitude better be good to start off with.
Yeah.
To find fun in the process of that, to not be outcome based, but be process based.
Yeah. And some people can be outcome-based, but process-based is going to get you a lot further. And it's going to be a whole lot more fun.
Right.
You know?
Well, I like that. That's the reframing that I need.
Yeah. Just make it fun. Make everything fun. Yeah, it was interesting. I will kind of leave with one story that just has to do with what you're talking about. So when I first started public speaking, like professionally speaking, I used to, about 2 minutes into my talk, it was about an hour long, 2 minutes in, I would get incredibly lightheaded and I would get super anxious. And I almost sometimes thought I was either going to faint or throw up. And I don't know. I was like, is there something about the content 2 minutes in or what's happening? And I couldn't ever pinpoint it, but I would always make sure I was standing near the podium around the 2 minute mark so I could grab the podium because the room would start spinning. And so it got to a point where this became such a regular occurrence that I dreaded speaking because I thought one of these days I am going to fall off the stage or I'm going to just throw up on myself. And it was like, just get through, just get through, just get through, because the outcome is going to be that people are going to have liked it and that it will be done. And I remember when I was preparing for my TED talk, I was trying to read all these things that talked about how do you calm your nerves, because these nerves were going to kill me during the TED talk if I didn't get them under control. And I read something that said that don't try to quell your nerves, try to lean into them, try to embrace them. So for the anxiousness or the nervousness, use that as excitement and build up and think of it as, I'm going to be so excited that this is going to be so fun that it's just a total mindset shift. And so what I did is I tried it for the very first time when I gave my TED talk and I was off stage and I'm jumping up and down with my nervousness. I'm like, yes, I got this. I'm going to do this. This is going to be so fun. And I went out on stage and it was the first time after like hundreds of rehearsal time, like hundreds of times that I'd rehearsed it, that I made it through the entire talk without making a mistake. And I had so much fun giving that talk that it came off great. And so when you talk about attitude is aptitude, right? I was just better for it because I enjoyed it and I shifted that. So now whenever I go out and I speak, I come up on stage and I'm like, let's have fun today. And I'm like, we're going to have so much fun. And I crack jokes and 2 minute mark goes and comes and goes. I don't feel like I'm going to faint. None of that anymore, because I think of the whole process is just fun. And now I'm having just enjoying it so much more, but I had to shift my attitude because if not, I was going to fall off the stage and embarrass myself. So.
And it wasn't just that you were hyperventilating because you were talking so fast out of nervousness at the beginning?
No. It was just, I was up there enough to like do my introduction. And as soon as I sort of got into the content and, you know, I was like, I have 59 more minutes of this, you know?
Right.
But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I only have 59 more minutes of this. I could be up here all day.
Right.
So have fun in the process.
Fun in the process. All right.
You'll grow into who you want to be and you'll have the aptitude you want.
All right. So, we'll see.
All right, Tracy. Well, it has been a lively discussion. I know that you have a lot of things on your mental to-do list now since our conversation. And you're getting excited.
I'm excited. Yeah, I got to go. Let me go and get it done. We'll see if I get anything done before the next podcast recording. That's my challenge.
It's not even a challenge. There's your exciting opportunity.
Exciting opportunity to have so much to show for the next time we talk.
Yes, but also to have had so much fun in doing it.
So I can come back and say, "My, that was fun. I love picking out those pictures of..." What are they called? Stock photos of random people?
Yes. You get to go through stock photos. That is super fun.
Who is in stock photos? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. There's like stock photo actors from? I don't know.
That's what I was wondering today.
Good question. We'll have to leave our readers or our listeners with some kind of ponderance there. Who is in a stock photo?
Who are stock photo actors?
Exactly. All right. Well, to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.